You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
And a happy Sunday to you all. Welcome to Humanitarian Radio and another fabulous episode of people doing awesome things for other people in this world with Tony St. Tone here. How you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing great. I am doing excellent today. It's just so awesome how we keep finding more and more people out there that are doing great things. You know, the more you search, the more you'll find, and this radio show has just brought us some really great people out there that are doing some great things. So
that being said, for those who haven't listened to us before, what this show is about is shouting out some good news for your soul. What that means, we only talk about great things people are doing and the awesome things going on around this world and things that you can get involved in to make a difference in other people's lives. And every week we feature a guest, and the guest is usually somebody who has done something pretty phenomenal, is doing something phenomenal, or is going to inspire you to do something phenomenal.
You know, that being said, I'd like to jump in on that and segue into what I like to
tell us, Tony. What phenomenal thing are you doing this week?
Well, I'm working with a young lady named Shania Fastier, and she is an author. She's an actress. She's a musician.
And how old is she?
She's 14 years old.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. But she's written a great book called Bully in the Mirror. And we are doing a show this coming Saturday out here in California in
Pomona.
Pomona. Yeah, I was going to say Palmdale, but it's Pomona. It's a free event. If you're in the area, it's Saturday, January 25th from 3 to 5. I'll be doing a presentation called I Am the King of Me. It's a self-empowerment seminar where I include music along with self-empowering messages. And then Shania is going to take the stage, and she's going to talk about her book and talk about bullying. And it's a free event. But the great thing about this is this event, we're raising money for Book in a Backpack. And that is an organization that has been put together by Gail Wills. And Gail is another person who's been on our show a number of times. But she just started this new organization, and we're very excited about it. This is the first presentation she's doing.
So this the location is called The Loft.
Yes.
It's at 543 West 2nd Street in Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find the information on a few places on the S-A-I-N-T-T-O-N-E website.
Yes.
On the Facebook and also on Humanitarian Radio's website
and
Facebook.
I was going to say, if you're watching this, the link is located right at the bottom. If you want to RSVP, it's limited seating, so it is a free event. You'd have to get right on it because I know that we're almost filled. But again, it's
Shania,
a free event.
Shania also is bringing her book, and so you'll have an opportunity to get one of these books from her. But this, you know, I know both these guys.
Yeah, you do.
Don't I?
Yeah.
And I think this is a really great, great, great inspirational thing for someone who's looking for a little boost, jumpstart their new year, kick themselves in the butt, however you want to put it. This is a great free event to just go out there and get yourself feeling good.
Yeah, you know, what I'm going to be talking about a lot is how to accomplish your goals for this year or your New Year's resolution, and just really some really cool tools that you can use throughout the year. If it's a dream board, a dream CD, how to set goals, how to get yourself pumped up, how to eliminate negative people in your life.
And the cool thing I like about what you do in your show is you bring your guitar and you have some music that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And so it's not like one of those shows where you're just sitting and somebody's lecturing you to death.
No.
Like beating a horse.
No,
it's very active. It's very exciting. It's very
it's interactive and
yeah.
It's exciting, and I like audience participation.
It goes by really quick.
Like I like to keep
it upbeat.
You
don't even realize you've been sitting there for an hour. It goes by so fast.
I like to do it really fun and upbeat. I don't like to sit there and get bored. Sorry.
For those of you who haven't seen one of Tony's Rise Up or I Am the King of Me shows, they are definitely all about activity, as in action, action, action.
Mm-hmm.
You are a an observer, a participant, and just all around having a ball. So I recommend them highly. I totally hope you guys fill up those seats quickly because there's not a whole ton of them. Grab them while you can.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, is it's for a great cause. This woman, Gail Wills, what she's doing is she started an organization called Book in a Backpack. And what she wants to do is she wants to give kids that are in need a brand-new backpack with a book in it. And she has found that in the past 30 years as working in the school system that there's a lot of kids that would really – get a lot out of having a brand new backpack and having a book, because sometimes kids get teased because they don't have what other kids have.
And it's a fresh start for kids. You know, it's just like getting a new shirt.
Exactly.
Or getting your hair cut.
Exactly. So her thought is, it's like, let's get behind this and let's see if we can give out some backpacks to kids that are in need. And that way all the kids feel the same. And it eliminates kids being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
How, you know, you don't even have a backpack. You have to carry your books in a lunch bag or something.
And Shania, this remarkable 14-year-old girl who has already written several books, was bullied because she was so smart. And you don't even think about that. You think bullied because, you know, you're poor or negative things, but here this girl is a little brainiac and got bullied for that.
You know,
like, you got to be kidding me.
I have a friend of mine that has happened to, and I've talked to him about it, and he said, he goes, it's the oddest thing. He was playing some trivia game, and he knew all the answers. And then everyone kept looking at him going like, oh, you probably know it, Brainiac. Oh, you probably know. Well, okay.
In that voice?
Yeah, it was like they kept teasing him, and I'm like, oh, my God. So he said, he literally started throwing the game. He would know the answer, and he purposely started saying the wrong answer just to fit in.
How sad is that?
How sad is that? I said, really? You had to dumb it down just to be part of the group? He goes, yeah. He goes, because they kept teasing me so much. And, you know, he's an adult. It wasn't like a 15-year-old kid. He was in his, like, 20s or 30s, and he's like, he was the smartest person in the room, so
bullying
they kept going.
Carries into any age at this point. I think it's time we put a stop to this
nonsense. Well, it's just so funny that it's like even at an older age, you have to play dumb just to fit in. So.
Yeah, sad but true. So, coming back around, everybody, grab up those seats real quick. Make it a full house for these guys. It usually is anyway. But make sure your butt's in that seat, because you'll be totally inspired when you walk out of there to do fabulous things for your fellow man, for yourself, for your family, for your children, and that's the name of the game.
We are booking more shows across the country, actually. We're looking at doing the show in North Carolina. I believe it's going to be sometime in April, and I know that we have some talks about doing something in Florida. So if you are interested and you're listening, give me a shout, and we can put something together. And we're going to be right back with a great guest. Who's our guest?
Sherelle Elan.
More about her when we come back.
That's a sexy name.
It's the growl.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock song. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet, off the money now. I'm a magnet, off the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio-video graphic design service.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
So we are back, and I am so excited to introduce our next guest. We met the other night on a red carpet. Humanitarian Radio was interviewing some of the celebrities that were at a movie called Maneater. And we met this fabulous woman named Sherelle Elan, and I was so impressed with her and her just the air about her and her energy and her beautiful look that we kind of clung to each other for a little bit. She ended up sitting in front of me, and I said, I just got to have you on our show. And so guess what? She is here with us today, right now, live and in color. So welcome, Miss Sherelle Elan. How are you, my darling?
I am wonderful, and thank you so much. I'm so glad I sat in front of you. That was a blessing. That was such a blessing, because actually I was about to leave.
Really?
Yes, I was getting ready to leave because...
It was running very late, yeah.
Yeah, it was running very late, and I had another engagement. But I'm glad I stuck around. A friend said, a young lady who I met at that event, she said, no, stick around. She wouldn't let me go. And then when you came and sat behind me and started talking, she said, see, glad you stayed, aren't you? I say, yes.
You never know what's in store for you, do you?
Yes, I did not know. Oh, my gosh, you guys opened up like a whole gate, and I'm so glad that you came and you talked to me and we vibed,
Yeah, so how did you hear about the movie that we were there to check out, Maneater? What brought you there?
I really can't say. I got this email out of nowhere, and my goal this year for 2014 was to just connect with new people and reconnect with friends who I've met here in Los Angeles over 10 years. I've been here for 10 years, so I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary this entire year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that was my goal. And I got that email, and it looked very interesting. It looked like something that I wanted to attend and meet people. And I honestly can't tell you where I got the email from. It just came out of the blue.
Well, it was obviously meant for you to be there. And I want to touch on something you just said. You're celebrating your 10th year in the Los Angeles area in Hollywood, and you are an actress, among many other things that you do. And to survive in this realm for 10 years, God bless you. Congratulations, because that is not an easy thing to do in this,
that's a milestone.
In this realm. Yeah.
Is a milestone. I mean, and these past 10 years have been just overwhelming for the country, period, for the world, period.
Right.
You know, we went through economic ups and downs, and when I first got here, I came when, there was fires on the news and 9/11 had just happened. That's what got me out here was, because I used to work in news back in Washington, D.C., and covering that story was just not my thing.
Yeah.
It was, people actually had to put on a game face. Like, they had to go numb to the feelings of what was going on.
Right.
And for me, I just could not. I wanted to tell stories, but not in that way where I had to become numb. My thing was, I'm organically and naturally, I get emotionally involved, and that's why I decided, it's time for me to really go out to L.A. and do what I want to do, and that is, as an actress, you can get emotionally involved with the story, with the characters, and you can, and actually, I've always been an emotional person, so I can feel that,
right.
And I can express that, but that's not acceptable in the news. You have to be, straight.
Yeah, and you were working with 2020 and primetime, and, you were in the thick of things.
I was in the thick of things. I remember that first day I walked in, and there's a monitor as soon as you walk in the door. First building was on fire, and they're like, oh, New York, da-da-da, stuff is about to break out. And I'm standing there watching the monitor, and you see that second plane. I'm watching it live go into that second building, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
What is going on? And you are in the thick of things. We got there at 9. We didn't leave there until like 1 o'clock in the morning the next day, and it was like that. We had to get up and get there at earlier, like 6 o'clock, and we weren't out of there till 1. And no one is – we're looking at all of this footage of just things just happening, and – I'm getting emotional. Couldn't help it, but I'm looking at everybody else, and they're like, ooh, we got that shot, because the Pentagon had gotten hit, too.
Right. And I watched that live as well, so I know exactly the emotion you were going through, because that's exactly what I was going through at the same time.
Yeah, it's really, incredible. And my poor interns, I had a new set of interns. I used to manage the interns. I was there.
Oh my.
And my poor intern, I said, you guys, you got to get going. And one of my interns, he went out with a associate producer, and he's out there live. you know, he's at the Pentagon, and he has his, you know, I had to throw them in the thick of things. So it was like it was so overwhelming emotionally for me. It just wasn't a place where I belong, and everybody knew it. They were like, she's just doesn't belong here. And from day one, you know, because I always walked in with a smile on my face. I was excited about life, excited about,
yeah,
you know, and but everyone else, it was their nature to, you know, go out and obtain those kinds of stories.
Yeah, and stone face the emotion. Yeah.
Yeah, they had thick skins, and so at that moment I decided, you know, time for me to move on. And so when the job was done, I said, I'm out of here, and I'm going to L.A.
So what was the first thing? What was the first thing that you did when you got out to L.A.?
When I got out here, I had done a little bit of networking, and a friend of mine, my cousin lived next door back east. She lived next door to the sister of someone in HR in ABC out here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so my first job, I just immediately started temping, because you can, you know, if you're in the arts,
yeah,
you cannot have a 9-to-5.
Exactly.
You have to be flexible.
Totally. Because you never know when that call is going to come saying, hey, can you be on set in 15 minutes, basically.
Yeah, you never, ever know that. And my first job, I was working for $11 an hour. But it was at ABC, and it was in the talent development department, the diversity department. And the money didn't matter to me. It was just that I was in a place where I could meet people, and I still keep in contact. I just reconnected with one of the executives over there now. He's moved up into the executive position. I worked for him. Just reconnected with him, Frank Gonzalez. He's in the diversity talent department. And I was just there, and I was excited, and I did things like stuff envelopes, you know.
Sure, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to stay in Hollywood. And, you know, we have a friend who manages several apartment complexes, and he says to us that the average person doesn't last for 6 months because they come here thinking that suddenly they're going to get discovered with minimal effort and that they'll be able to hang. And that's why I'm saying, wow, you survived 10 years. You must have had a serious drive to do this, you know, to get into this realm in order to be a survivor for 10 years in Hollywood.
Yeah, I think it just, I know where I was coming from. And
yeah.
My parents used to say to me, you know, if you can make it in Washington, D.C., you can make it anywhere.
Oh, well, that's true,
and
too,
that
isn't
is
it?
The truth. Yes, Washington, D.C., it prepares you for anything. I mean, you have to have a tough skin to have grown up in Washington, D.C. And plus, another thing about me is that from birth, I was born early, and there was a percentage that I would not have made it. Mm. So I think that premature children who survive that, they are already learning how to survive.
Right.
And they develop this, you know, thick skin at an early age.
Yeah,
you know?
It's your destiny.
So, yeah. And throughout my life, I've had those types of experiences where I've had to take a risk and bounce back, or stay the course to sustain and make it, you know.
Now, let me ask you, because I noticed on your bio online, you said that you were an advocate of maintaining positive images.
Yes. And, you know, because I grew up on positive images. When I realized what I wanted to do in life, you know, you may remember when Vanessa Williams became the first African-American female to win the Miss America pageant.
Right.
Well, in my community, that was huge. I mean, teachers put her picture up, and subliminally, we were taking that in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a story, like, throughout my life, and I just kept that image. I don't know. And then later on, there was an image of Jane Kennedy, who was also, you know, a personality. She's an actress from way back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a personality that I would see. And these images were, you know, positive. They had other images, too, you know, like Dr. King. They had Harriet Tubman. They had Charles Drew. They had all of these pictures just around us.
Yeah.
So that we can aspire to be something when we grew up. And so subliminally, those images stuck in my head. We had those kind of images. We had substance. So anyway, in my mind, I was like, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to make an impression on youngsters like me when I get older. You know, I want to be able to. And so I always pursued or did my best. I used to love school. I went to school. I had perfect attendance every day. You know,
there's
and,
another remarkable milestone.
Perfect attendance is not hard to come by.
I have certificates. My sister used to tease me because I used to carry all my books home and do all, you know. And so because I wanted to be the best and I wanted to look my best. And I got to get in trouble for being in the mirror. My teacher called my mother up to the school one time because she said she's always in the mirror. But it was this whole thing that I was working on for myself.
Yeah, you were preparing for your future.
Now,
I was preparing for my future, and it was not just for me. It was because I know that images are important, and if we don't see ourselves out there, then, you know, it's hard to see yourself, you know, and to work on yourself. So, I had all these images in front of me, and I wanted to aspire to be, you know, a positive image myself.
And you got you got that opportunity to do that. You won Miss Teen USA. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And, you know, that didn't come by because in Washington, D.C., my mom didn't have, like, the money for the
pageantry.
Yeah, she didn't have the money for the application and the entry fees and all that stuff. And so I never thought that I would be able to participate, but we started getting these promotions in the mail for that pageant, and like I said, I never thought that I would be able to get into it because of the fees. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to prepare like I'm going to be in a pageant.
That's awesome.
Telling you the truth, we had these stairs in front of our high school. I went to an arts high school, and they were long, and I used to just walk down those stairs as if I was floating down, so like I was in a pageant. I used to just prepare my posture and all that good stuff and work on my interviewing skills, et cetera. Subliminally, I used to do that. And my last year in high school, graduation night came, and I'm walking across the stage. I have a picture of me. You know, all the seniors walk across the stage, and it's traditional to do something different, like one of the students went over the stage on her point shoes because she was a dancer.
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I want to do something. And so when I walked across the stage, I waved like I was in a pageant. And I have a picture of it. And interestingly, there was a talent scout in the audience. And she wasn't even my teacher, but she was just one of the teachers at the school who used to watch me. She was like, I don't know, it was something about me that she was like, I want to help her. And she came up to me after graduation. She said, there is a pageant down at LaFont Plaza tomorrow morning. You should go. Take your prom dress. If you don't have a dress, then just go. You can win.
Well, you had already mentally prepared for it your whole life without even knowing it, seeing these images early on and actually, you know, what they say out there is fake it till you make it, and, you know, you created your own reality. You're like, I already know what I'm doing without even realizing I know what I'm doing.
I didn't even realize it, and I didn't realize that people were watching me, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
you were at Duke Ellington School of Arts then?
I was at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. That's my family, and yeah, the next day, I casually, like, asked my mom, do you want to go and do this? And she said, yeah, why not? And so I said, okay. So we went, took my prom dress. I did my thing and what I prepared for those, you know, all those years.
Yeah.
And I won the title, and it was so much fun.
I bet. And so I bet it was really cool for you to be able to, because like you have a year that you're Miss Teen, and then I'm assuming that you go out there and talk to teenagers about, you know, different things in life. I used to do pageants myself, so I got a little bit of an understanding of that.
Yeah, my experience was a little bit different because it was my senior year. So after the summer, I went to college. I went to Florida A&M University.
Ah, wow.
And so I didn't have that experience of spending a year in Washington, D.C. and talking to the teens. However, over my life since then, I used to, when I was at, ended up transferring to Howard University. And while I was there, I always reach back and help teens because I know that that's where I, you know, started and I, development years, you know, worked out for me. And so when I was at Howard, I visited this recreation center and there were some young girls there who needed some self-esteem building. I mean, they were living in allowing themselves to get involved with things that did not help build their self-esteem. I mean, they used to walk with their head down, let young men hit on them, you know, and they thought it was love taps or whatever. And I used to, so I would go there and host workshops where, you know, like one day we would have like a finishing type school, like showing them how to walk with their head held high and apply, you know, how to, you know, maybe, you know, do their nails and things like that. And we would have discussions about how relationships should look and how young men should treat them.
Right.
You know,
it's really, a lot of times kids don't learn that from home. You know?
No, they don't, because they're raising themselves.
Exactly.
You know, parents have to work, or they may have just one parent at home. Like me, my mom worked, and we had to be independent a lot of times, you know.
Right.
And so my mom was a great role model, you know, just seeing her get up and go to work and every day, and she did not, you know, she said, there's no excuse for you not to go to school. That's your job. You know, so she just carried herself very positive. Like, she walked with her head held high, and I, you know, always wanted to emulate that. So, but a lot of young girls didn't have that, and it was such a moving thing for me because after that workshop, like a couple of years later, I saw this one of the young girls who was in the workshop. She walked past me, and I looked, and I was like, look at her, wow, because she's holding her head up high, and she's, you know, looking the world in the face. And I stopped her, and I said,
I was going to say, you obviously had a very strong impression on her, so it obviously worked what you possibly gave her. You gave her that ability to change herself, you know? You were the role model for her, like these other photos and these other people were role models for you. You carried it forward or paid it forward.
Yes. Yeah, and it felt so good to do that. And so that's, for me, my life, those are the things that make me feel good. Everything else is like, you know, material things don't matter to me. That does not make me feel great. It makes me feel wonderful when I can reach back and help doing community service.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because I saw that you got an NAMIC award for outstanding community service. What was that about?
Yes, that's the National Association of Multi-Ethnicity and Communication.
Nice.
And what I did when I was in graduate school at Syracuse University, I always used to talk to the counselor and tell her, hey, when I get back to Washington, D.C., I want to have a mentor-type program where youngsters can come out who are interested in entertainment or interested in communication to plan out their career.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have an all-day event where we have colleges come, where we have executives and the movers and shakers in the communications industry to come out and help these youngsters plan their careers.
Excellent.
So I started the day at my alma mater, Duke Ellington School of the Arts. I always reach back there because that's family. It's nothing like going to an art school. And so I started the first day there, and they started out, we had Syracuse, the school that I went to, come down from Newhouse. We had some local universities come out, and they just talked to them. We had human resources come out from the Discovery Channel, from Black Entertainment Television, to talk to them about what they need to do to prepare for getting a career in communications, because it's not an easy nut to crack.
It's not what you think it is, you know. It's like what I was saying earlier, when people come out to Hollywood and they think they're going to, you know, all of a sudden be an actress, it actually takes some real work to be an actress,
yes,
and, you know, be a musician and that type of thing. It's the same with the communications world. It's not like you can just roll out, grab a microphone, and suddenly you're doing it, you know?
No, you really can't. It is a process. You have to get informed and educated, and you have to groom yourself, and it's a lot of preparation. And when you prepare and the opportunity comes, you're ready, and that's how it happens. There's,
you know,
no such thing as luck.
Somebody said to me yesterday in a meeting, I said, well, this is, you're able to perform magic, in essence. And he said, you know, the real definition of magic is putting your preparedness into action.
Or when opportunity, preparedness meets opportunity, is luck.
Is luck,
that's
luck.
Right.
You know, if you're not prepared, you're like, it's like, here's the opportunity. You're not prepared, so now you're not lucky. It's like it's having, just like when you were preparing for the opportunity to go into the pageant. You know, if you hadn't trained yourself and put yourself in that position, that opportunity would have went by. It's not that you were lucky. It's that you had already trained for that opportunity. So
yeah, you put it out in the universe, and you were ready for it. Totally.
Yes.
So
love it, yes.
Let's talk about, you have a show coming up at the end of the month that you're involved in.
Yes, we have a show coming up at the end of the month. I don't know, can I say the title?
Absolutely.
It's Reservoir Dogs, but it's Reservoir Female Dogs.
It's that other word.
Yes. We're okay here. It's a Reservoir Bitches as opposed to
it's
Reservoir Dogs.
It's called Reservoir Bitches, yes.
And
I get to play.
Go ahead.
I get to play a tough and twisted gangster, which may sound negative, but for female, it prepares me. I'm preparing for something else. I get to be edgy, you know, and I get to be strong in this part. And it's going to be a lot of fun, you know. It's a lot of humor in it. And so for me, I don't judge the character. I find in that character something that I can build, you know, for the future and for myself. I look for the truth. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been rehearsing for the past month, nonstop, and we have a very talented cast. I know Tony's familiar with Reservoir Dogs and stuff.
Oh, totally! And
know,
I'm very excited to see this. And everyone I've talked to so far is really excited about the fact that it's going to be all women and it's done as a play, because we know the movie so well. I mean, it broke Tarantino out there as far as a director and a writer, but to see this role be taken on by women, it's going to be a really interesting twist, but it's going to be very exciting to see. So, and I love the fact that you're actually, as you said earlier, you know, you're excited to do the role, because that's what acting's all about. It's stretching who you are, and it's pretending to be someone else that you're not. And you're actually being able to say, okay, I'm going to empower myself to be this. The person you're playing is Mr. Blonde. And if you know the movie, this is a character who ends up taking the air off of the police officer. But he's a bit twisted, but he's confident, and he's a bit out there. But there's definitely something you can draw from as far as an actor going, wow, I really have to find out who this character is to sell it.
Yes. Know? Oh, my God. Blonde is hilarious, and I'm having a blast, because every time we do it, I find something new about Blonde, and that gives me range.
Yeah.
You know, I can be, look, sort of normal at one point, but then it's like, wait, something is up with Blonde.
Yeah, he's not all there. And the funniest thing is that if those who know the movie, you start off with, hey, he just got out of jail. He needs a break. He's like, listen, you guys have always taken care of me when I was in jail, because I guess apparently he did time to help out the main character, the main guy.
Jolie.
And so he's like, well, we're going to give you a job, and it's a quick job, so that way we can get you back on your feet because you obviously didn't rat us out. And he's like, yeah, okay. And everyone's all on board. And then all of a sudden, when all these characters come together who purposely don't know each other, they have no idea that this guy's just a psycho.
Yeah.
You get to play a nut job, in essence.
You get to rush out of taking people out.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care what kind of information you have. I just want to torture you. You're like, what?
Right. Yeah.
It's dark comedy.
And can you imagine a black female twist on that?
Yeah.
So is it a big stretch for you?
We really don't know who you really are, so maybe this is your other side, so it's worth seeing just in that itself.
It's your
know?
Dark side.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell everybody, when does it run and how they can see the show, and where is it at?
Okay, so Reservoir Bitches, we're at the Trace stage. And that's at 1523 North La Brea Avenue, Suite 208. Now, when you get there, you can miss it because it's a hidden black box theater. It's a treasure, and so you gotta get out your car and walk up the stairs.
You gotta get out and look. It's not gonna jump out and smack you in the head.
No, it's not. It's a hidden gem where actors go to get their chops exercise.
Excellent.
And we have a show coming up this Wednesday. It's every Wednesday, January the 22nd and the 29th, and February the 5th. Now, that show is at 9:30 p.m. And then afterwards, starting February the 12th,
mm-hmm.
The 19th and the 26th and March 5th, the show starts at 8 p.m.
Okay, so after Reservoir Bitches, you've got something else mm-hmm. coming on called Soul USA. Tell us about that.
Yes, Soul USA, as in Soul Korea, but Soul USA.
Ah.
It's a film in pre-development that I've been working on for the past 5 years. That's one of the stories that I started when I was in Washington, D.C. That's another story that manifested out of my childhood.
Okay.
While growing up in Washington, D.C., on my way to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, because I lived in another part of town. I had to catch a bus across town.
Mm-hmm.
I was accosted by some thugs who thought that they were going to kidnap me or put me in their car, and they were like, we have a gun, we're going to take you with us.
Yeah.
And something inside me told me to yell, scream, and get away from them. And I did, but they got in their car and they started to chase me down. And I'm, running down the street, trying to get away from these guys. And instead of going home, I go and I knock on, a friend's door, a guy who knew me very well. He's like my big brother in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they backed off, and before they did, they threw a bottle at me. Like, I did not know these guys from Adam. And so I felt after that incident, I got away, and that was a blessing for me.
Absolutely.
But something inside me was crushed, and that was my self-esteem, my confidence, and I felt terrible. I started to be more shy. Like I told you, earlier I was
mm-hmm.
be very shy, and I could not get out of that shell, but something inside me said, I need to get out of this shell if I want to become a personality or, the things that I want to do in my life.
Right.
That that day, you know, I got home and I told my mom what happened, and she said, I'm so sorry. What happened to you? And, you know, she felt helpless too. There was nothing that she could do about it.
Right.
You know.
And so this Soul USA is basically a story, a movie, story you turned into a movie about that experience.
Well, part of it, but it's very minimal. I'm just sharing how I came about it.
Oh, I see.
I promised myself that day that I would get into a martial arts class whenever the opportunity presented itself. So when I ended up at Howard University, I was a film major. And I also decided, you know, because they offered taekwondo. I never knew what taekwondo was. I just knew it was a martial art. And I said, all right, I'm going to check this out. Because that's what I always wanted, to build my self-esteem and come out of my shell with. And so I took the class, and I loved it. And so I started getting in the class, and I started, you know, going to the Taekwondo Club, Howard University Taekwondo Club. And that's where I learned about the women's team and the team, because they trained there. The first United States Taekwondo team trained at Howard University. And so that story stuck in my mind as a filmmaker. I was like, wow, and the women on that team brought home the most gold medals ever.
So that was more people for you to look up to in your building of your self-character.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so this story, Soul USA, is about their journey. Because they came from inner cities like Chicago and Detroit. Lynette Love came from Detroit, and Arlene Lemus came from Chicago. And
they all had a tough upbringing as well, and still managed to be extremely successful in their craft.
Yes, and in talking to them, it just built up who I can be. You know, they were examples for me to get over whatever the situations, because, you know, we're not alone. You know, I would talk to some of my friends and realize that, hey, they were going through the same thing that I was going through growing up in Washington, D.C., but some of them got raped.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where it should not happen.
Right.
But as a young woman and a young girl, you know, you grow up fast living in the city because you have to become more independent.
Right,
you have
right.
to get out there on your own. So it's like when something like that happens, I had this young girl who was in my neighborhood. She came by my house and she told me, you know, she was a teenager. She was like 18 at the time, and she came by my house just to say hello to me. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And she's telling me, you know, well, she had gotten raped the other day. And I was like, well, did you go to the doctor? Did you go to the police? And da-da-da. And she was like, no. I said, why not? She said, I don't know. I just went home. So it's like something like that is the story, you know, it needs to be told to show young girls around the world. Now, these women were not raped.
Right.
But they did have things in their lives
sure.
that were peer pressure that happened to them that is not supposed to happen in your life. But what happens is young girls, they think it's just what happens. It's normal. It's immune. You know, it's something that they become, it's a rite of passage almost. It's like, so
which in itself is just unbelievable.
So when does this movie come out? Is this movie done, or is this something you're still working on?
It's still in pre-development, and what I'm working on is obtaining funding to actually get it produced. It has not been produced yet. I'm working on getting investors as we speak.
So, Sherelle, if someone is interested in helping you to fund that movie and to, you know, get this out there on the big screen to get that word out, where can they find you and contribute and, you know, start conversation with you?
Where's your Facebook and all that? Just
Well, I have a website. It's called Soul USA The Movie, and it's SEOUL. theMovie.com, and you know, it's been a great journey with this thing, because last year I was able to get the women who inspired the movie, Lynette Love and Arlene Lemus, who won the gold medal for the United States, to come together at an assembly in Washington, D.C., at Duke Ellington School of the Arts, my alma mater, to talk to the young girls in the community.
Wow.
About Taekwondo and how it has helped them build their self-esteem, get better grades in school, help them with their lives in the Olympic Games or in the sports and outside of their lives, so that these young girls. So the movie has a great message in it, and I've been talking to people all over the world. I went to an Olympic event here in Los Angeles and talked to a representative of the International Olympic Committee about Seoul, USA, and there, you know, they say, you know, a lot of things happen to young women all over the world. So it's a message that
it's a message of awareness, absolutely.
Yes.
So, Sherelle, we have to take a quick break. And I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. Appreciate everything that you're doing, darling. And we absolutely want everybody to follow you. Check out SoulUSAthemovie.com. And then do you have a personal Facebook where people can keep an eye on what you're doing and check you out on Reservoir Bitches and all that fun stuff you got going on?
Yes, I'm at Sherelle Alon, and it's C-H-E-R-R-E-L-L-E. And the last name is lowercase e. L-A-N, and that's how it comes up on Facebook. I have a like page.
Excellent. So everybody out there, keep an eye on this rising star. She's put a lot of effort into Hollywood in the last 10 years, and things are happening for her, and she's doing really great things in our community. So we really encourage you to back her, support her, and show her that you're out there. Thanks so much, Sherelle, for coming on our show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out artisticjourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook, /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
And so, true to form, what we like to do on this station is we like to feature a really great feel-good song. And, you know, since we have this fabulous songwriter sitting next to me, Mr. Tony St. Tone,
mm-hmm.
I generally prefer to pluck a song from his many hundreds of songs he's written. And this particular song that we picked for Sherelle today is a song called Daydreamer. Tony, tell us about this song.
This song today is about visualization, and Sherelle really seemed to embrace the whole concept of visualization. As she pretended to be the teen
Miss USA,
even though she had no idea how she was going to achieve that, she started playing it out in her mind as if she had already won it, and she already knew how to walk, how to make her presentation in front of all the judges. And she kept doing this, and eventually through this magical universe, it came to her, and she actually won. So this song talks all about that. So when you're listening to the lyric is, where the person is at the present time and where they're imagining to be. So if they're in a restaurant, let's say McDonald's, like at a fast food place, and while they're waiting in line, in their mind they're thinking that they're in this really great restaurant, pouring wine, getting a waiter to serve, or maybe they're walking down the street and they're waving a cab, and instead a limousine is picking them up.
So it's like you're losing yourself. You're in one place where you might not necessarily want to be, and you're losing yourself, and you grow into a whole other place in your mind.
Well, you're daydreaming.
Hey, I like it.
Imagine
at one
that.
Point, you'll also notice in this song, there's a little line about Jay Leno in here. Jay Leno had taken an interest in Tony years back, listened to his music, and loved the band, and so Tony ended up putting a lyric in this song about Jay Leno later.
Yeah. Yeah, so check it out. This is Daydreamer by Saint Tone. Daydreamer by Saint Tone. You could find that song on my website, www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. And download it. Check it out. I really appreciate any feedback that you guys have. Always love to hear what you guys have to think.
And if you follow Saint Tone Facebook and on the website, you can always see where we're performing next and what shows are going on, whether it's a independent show that Tony's doing to empower people or whether it's the full band Rise Up show. You can find everything that he's doing on his website and Facebook. So keep in tune.
Mm-hmm. That's so, another song altogether.
That's a new song coming on. Going to have a variety of new songs. Working on a new album. So yay.
album. Does that age me?
No, because people still say album, even though there's not really technically correct.
So every week on this show, I also like to tell people how they can get involved in things, and I like to look up things that are going on in the United States, but also in around the world, that people can get into. Somebody mentioned to me the other day the word Peace Corps, and my impression of Peace Corps was you had to quit your job, go to a foreign country, live in a tent, be there for a year, suffering while you're helping.
But at that, you know, when you say Peace Corps, all I think about is the 1960s and some kid going, he's joining the Peace Corps.
Exactly.
Some grumpy dad saying you're being a bum.
That's the image that I had, but I was so delighted when I started to check it out to realize that the number one volunteer in the Peace Corps right now are people over the age of 50 who have retired.
Mm.
They pay you really well, actually, and you get to go. You can go for as little as 4 weeks, so you don't have to go for like half your year. And there's so many options of things you can do. You can, if say you're a retired teacher, you could go into the Peace Corps, get paid to travel to different countries, and teach children how to speak English.
Now, if you come from New York, are they going to teach them how to speak with a Brooklyn accent? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool to discover that it's no longer where you're gone for a year, because it used to be that way. And a lot of people couldn't do it because you had to be gone for so long.
Right.
And now
right.
you can, if you go on peacecorps.org, you can check out all these different schedules. Oh, do you want to be gone 3 months? Do you want to be gone 6 months? Do you want to be gone 5 years? You can pick whatever level you want. But then additionally, whatever your career is or what you were before you retired, you could even continue in that vein because you know so much about that industry already. And they'll put you in, like say you were a banker, they'll put you with people in foreign countries that are trying to learn and understand about their finances.
Hmm.
So it's a pretty cool thing. And they teach people from children to adults. So it's not any specific gender, it's no specific age. That's really opened up to be a really great, great resource for retired people, college kids.
Now,
people.
Where can they go? They can go anywhere in the world, obviously, they can check.
There's so many countries on the Peace Corps website that you can pick.
Right.
It's like literally you could see the world. You could spend 4 weeks in this country, go 4 weeks in another country.
Now, you're saying that you volunteer, but they also pay you.
Yeah, they pay you a per diem, which is a per-day rate.
Okay.
And
do they house you also?
House you as well. They ask you to get involved with some of the projects they have going on prior to leaving so that you can do some fundraising things with them in order to supply all the money that you need for your trip. So basically you don't have to pull it out of your pocket. And it's a normal thing that they do is throwing these fundraisers and doing these events so that they can continue to send people to help other people all around the world.
Very cool.
It's a really cool thing. I was really delighted to see that it wasn't what my image was. And honestly, it made me think, wow, I might like to try doing that. You know,
Peace Corps is still going strong.
Well, you get 3 weeks off in the summer. Some companies and people who work, you know, at schools and things like that, they get the whole summer off.
Mm-hmm.
But what a cool adventure that could be when you're actually helping people to learn whatever you're really good at already. Or you can jump into something completely different. They will train you. And so you're learning something new, and you're teaching other people what you just learned. So
I think it's a great win-win situation.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Totally. So check out peacecorps.org and see if there's something on there that works for you. And if it's not something that works for you, find something that does. Do something amazing for the people in your world.
Go out there, join the Peace Corps, and come back and join our radio station. Tell us what it'll be
about. I like it.
Go out for 3 weeks. Do a remote interview with us from...
Live from Guam.
From Guam.
Is JoJo Smith.
Yeah, actually, Guam is really cool. I've actually spent a week there.
See?
I'd spend another week in Guam, without a doubt. Great diving.
So we're always looking for stories and people that are doing awesome things. And we also get a lot of feedback from people looking for things to do and not sure how to get involved. So if you have a project going on that you need some helpers in and you know about people that are doing some really great things in the world, do reach out to humanitarianradio.com or Humanitarian Radio Facebook and tell us what's going on. We are here to spread good news for your soul.
See you next week. Peace.
Bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.